Less than a year after making Aliyah, Lee Amy Lawrence, 62, was ready to leave Israel. What began as a decisive, now or never, move from Los Angeles quickly unraveled into a reality many immigrants don't anticipate. Financial strain, isolation, and the quiet shock of starting over without a safety net. Despite a successful career and strong connections, Lawrence couldn't find work. His savings disappeared, his health deteriorated, and, at one point, he found himself relying on neighbors for food. "A year after I arrived in Israel, I was completely broke," said Lawrence. "I had gone through almost all the $20,000 I came with. Suddenly there was nothing left, for rent, for food, for basic living. I started realizing I couldn't even get a job. I was facing age discrimination. That's when I decided I was leaving." For Lawrence, it wasn't a dramatic exit plan. It was exhaustion, the feeling that the dream he had carried with him had quietly collapsed into something unlivable. Then a friend, Tal, pushed back. "Don't go without a fight," he told him. "Make noise." So Lee Amy did. He went on Facebook and wrote, openly and without filters, about what he was going through, how he had come to Israel with hope, and how he was now being forced to leave because he simply couldn't make ends meet. The post spread quickly. Within days, it reached thousands of people. But more importantly, it didn't just reach people, it recognized them. People were eager to be heard, to have others like them to talk with. They were everywhere. Olam from France, Russia, South Africa, Argentina, the United States. People who had made the same leap of faith, only to find themselves isolated, struggling to navigate a new language, a new system, and an unfamiliar sense of loneliness. For Lee Amy, something shifted. "It wasn't just my story anymore," he recalled. "It was hundreds of messages. People telling me, this is exactly what I'm going through." That was the moment the idea for Keep Olam began to form, a nonprofit organization that helps immigrants to Israel feel less alone and get support. Lawrence joined forces with attorney Svika Graver, an Israeli who shared the same passion and wanted to keep Olam in Israel, advocating for them in the Knesset. He became Keep Olam's co-founder and chairman of the board. What started as personal frustration turned into a mission to help immigrants who were falling through the cracks after arriving in Israel. People who were expected to integrate, but were quietly struggling to find work, community, and stability. "Olams get very lonely," said Lawrence. "Especially during the holidays like Passover and Rosh Hashanah. Those are the loneliest time in the year, the same in America during Christmas and Thanksgiving. You see the highest suicide rate during these holidays. It's the same in Israel, they have no friends or family to go to." And so Lawrence started matchmaking Olam with local families to host them for the holidays and even for Shabbat dinners. He called the program, "No Ole Alone for the Holiday." Judy Maltz, an editor at Haaretz who knew Lawrence from the time he used to work as a stripper in Israel, called him and asked to do a cover story about the male stripper turned Aliyah advocate. That was a strong story which she knew will draw attention. Lawrence first came to Israel in his early 20s in the 1980s, arriving with the hope of building a life while studying at Tel Aviv University. In order to support himself, he reinvented his path in an unconventional way, opening Israel's first striptease club, at a time when such entertainment did not yet exist in the country. What began as a practical solution to survive soon turned into a unique entrepreneurial venture, even bringing the Chippendales to Israel. Despite his efforts to integrate, the venture faced public opposition, ultimately leading him to return to Los Angeles. But that experience came to serve him well in an unexpected way when he launched Keep Olam. "Susie interviewed me for a cover story on Friday, and by Sunday I was on every TV show in Israel," Lawrence said. "Sex sells. If I were an accountant, I doubt my story would have garnered that much attention." That exposure became a turning point for Lawrence, drawing widespread attention to Keep Olam and bringing in much-needed donations. Back in the U.S., his father, seeing the impact his son was making, agreed to cover his rent for a year, on the condition that Lawrence handle all other expenses himself. For the first year and a half, Lawrence took no salary for running Keep Olam, working 12 hours a day. Even when he eventually began getting a paycheck, it remained modest. Despite the financial strain, he was determined to stay in Israel. He felt he had found his purpose and refused to give up. From someone who once needed help finding a job, food and support, Lawrence became the person providing it, offering connections, employment assistance, food gift cards and a 24/7 support line for those in need. Today, 120 therapists work with Keep Olam, providing care in multiple languages, including English, Spanish, French, Russian and African languages. Their clinical director is Dr. Norman Goldwasser, who oversees training and supervision. Goldwasser made Aliyah in May of this year, joining his daughter, 6 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren in Jerusalem. The organization's Tikva program, run by Susan Cohen, offers critical support to immigrants grappling with the challenges of uprooting their lives and starting over in a new country. In Israel, that often includes facing entirely new stressors, sirens, missile attacks, and the need to run to bomb shelters. Many struggle with PTSD. This was one of the first programs Lawrence launched. Before we had a team of therapists, people would call Iran, the emotional first aid hotline, but they couldn't get help in their own language, so they stopped calling, he said. In our closed Facebook group, people would post cries for help. One wrote, "I'm on a bridge and going to jump." Another wrote, "I'm going to do the same." At one point, 3 people said they were going to end their lives. "I'm not a therapist, but I told anyone in trouble, call me." Lawrence would travel to wherever they live, sit with them for hours, talking, comforting and even driving them to receive professional care, including hospital admission when necessary. "I had no idea when I started that mental health would become the cornerstone of Keep Olam," said Lawrence. In Israel, 40% of suicides are among Olam. "I believe though that the number is even higher. The therapy service is given for free for lone soldiers and for a low cost for others. It's incredible to learn that despite the war in Israel and uncertainty about the future, people are still making Aliyah." From interviews the journal had with some Keep Olam members, despite it all, they feel safer in Israel than in the countries they came from. According to Dr. Goldwasser, people understand that the risk of anti-Semitism and the risk for emotional stress is more serious than the risk of some missiles from Iran. "People are coming to Israel because they'd rather have an external threat than an internal one," said Goldwasser. "I'm from Miami Beach, and it's much safer here than most places in the U.S., and still I feel safer in Israel." The missile attacks on Israel by Iran in February and March of this year caused tremendous stress for many Olam. For some, it was the final straw, and they chose to leave. These were mainly immigrants from Anglo-Saxon countries who had the means to return to their countries of origin, or who instead moved on to destinations such as Portugal, Spain and Hungary in search of stability and a quieter life. Many others, however, stayed. The reasoning, however, is likely less ideological and more financial. For many, there is simply nowhere to return to. Their situation in their home countries is often more difficult or unstable than their current reality in Israel. There is also another, less discussed factor. Many cannot afford to move back. "People come here expecting to find a job and earn what they did back home, but once they arrive, they realize they have to settle for a much lower salary," said Lawrence. "Many don't have enough money to buy food. We had hundreds of Olam who were literally starving, so we began providing them with food gift cards to Israeli supermarket Super Sal, allowing them to buy whatever they need." In Bat Yam, home to a large Russian-speaking immigrant population, Lawrence launched the Babushka and Dedushka program, Grandma and Grandpa in Russian. He was shocked to discover how many elderly Olam had empty refrigerators. Once a month, he personally visits and stocks their fridges. He has been doing this for 9 years, helping approximately 1,250 people. "Still," he said, "it is not enough. There are 20,000 Russian speakers in Bat Yam, and thousands more like them across Israel, some of them Holocaust survivors. These are people unfortunately too often go unseen and unsupported." According to Lawrence, one of the more challenging waves of Aliyah occurred in the 1990s, with the secret immigration of approximately 1,500 Olam from Cuba to Israel. Most of them were not Halachic Jews, and more than 90% eventually returned to Cuba, he said. "That's when you know it's bad. They came from a socialist country and suddenly found themselves completely alone. Who was going to give them jobs? They didn't even speak Hebrew. The term halashik, referring to Jews who are recognized as Jewish according to Jewish law, came up repeatedly. Lawrence believes that as many as 50% of Olam are not considered halashik Jews. They may have a Jewish ancestor, such as a grandfather or grandmother, or their conversion may not have been Orthodox. Nevertheless, Israel, which urgently needs new Olam, continues to welcome them. At Keep Olam, he said, that definition is less important. The organization accepts people from all levels of religious observance, countries of origin and backgrounds, whether they are Jewish by birth, by conversion or simply connected through marriage. We say we are all in this together. Before Keep Olam, each group was separate. You had the French, the Russians, the Americans. But now we all celebrate together. We have people from 100 countries, and we host parties, gatherings and friendships naturally form. Over the organization's 12 years, there have also been a few marriages between members, a French participant marrying an American, and a South African who married an Australian, among others. Their Purim party, he says, has become a celebration no one wants to miss. They have other events and parties throughout the year, although since the war he postponed parties for calmer times. Before moving to Israel, Lawrence worked as a media director for the Israeli consulate in Los Angeles. He also produced Sababa parties and organized red carpet events with numerous celebrities. He recalled going to a job interview back in LA for what seemed like a lucrative position. Everything was going well, until he was asked a familiar question, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" I looked up at the ceiling and thought, "I don't want to be here, I want to live in Tel Aviv," Lawrence said. That night, I went home, logged on to Nefesh B'Nefesh, started downloading the application, and made Aliyah in 2014. Lawrence believed it would be easy for him to find his footing in Israel. He was well connected and had a strong social network. But reality hit quickly. Moving to Israel at 50, with limited Hebrew, proved to be a significant barrier in the job market. The only type of job I could find was in binary options, and I didn't want to steal people's money, he said. To make matters worse, Lawrence began dealing with health issues. He was diagnosed with a hernia and prescribed opioids while waiting 6 months for surgery. He described that period as one in which he was functioning but largely disconnected from his own actions, including the early days of building Keep Olam. I used to run Keep Olam completely wasted, he said. Years later, people would stop me on the street and say, "You saved me," and I had no recollection of it. I was on opioids for 2 years, until I was able to get treatment and overcome it. During a Zoom interview, I see Max, a 34-year-old Russian immigrant and lone soldier, who sometimes couch surfs in Lawrence's Tel Aviv apartment. The scene feels almost informal, but it reflects something deeper. For Lawrence, Keep Olam is not just a job or an organization. It's a widening circle of people he considers family. Growing up in Massachusetts, Lawrence said he was the only Jewish child in his school, often bullied by classmates and at times feeling singled out by a teacher who made his difference feel even sharper. Those early experiences of isolation stayed with him for years. In Israel, he said, something finally shifted. Despite the struggles of building a new life from scratch, he had a sense of home he had never quite known before. For Lawrence, the work he does now is inseparable from that feeling. An attempt not only to support others making Aliyah, but to make sure that no one arriving alone would stay alone for long.